Chapter 8. It was a sunny day, and lunchtime turned into such fine fun. The glow of the massive yellow ball lit up the entire school grounds, and all around pupils were expending their energy. The younger kids were chasing each other around, pretending to be rapist and prey, the latest fun school game that was being played. The older lads were playing footy, nerds were discussing theories, and hot chickies were reapplying their ton of makeup. I was sat cosily on the grass banking overlooking the whole yard with Hughie and Will with me. We were singing an old song, I recall. It went like this. Stupid man got flamed again. Stupid man got flamed again. Lunch him, for he is attempting to play with the disc. Lunch him, for he is attempting to play with the disc. Across us on the grass, Rico Romano chatted up some girls, oozing oily charm and fiddling with his man parts in a restless fidget. The girls blushed and giggled at him. Further down the yard were other kids I knew of. Tipperary, Fudgy, Crotchet, Darmootle, Bransey, Shep, Boris Yahoo, the curse of the basket news, Coddo, Fisher Girl, and special thanks to the wardrobe department for eating all of Mum's tuna, also known as Smithy. Nippy was there too, chatting with other rejects like Jesus Granger, the college spy, who was actually 40, the boy who looked like a drawing, and Barry Coconut, who apparently had spent all the alligator's pennies on chalk mist. But then, from around the corner, out of nowhere, like a big fuck-off tidal wave, came the feared green outfit. Those horrible bullies and their chilling presence. All three of them were stood shoulder to shoulder like foot soldiers parading a war zone. Dachekas to the left, Krusty Chops to the right, and Yellow Cassette's Peck in the centre, looking like he really wanted to kick someone's fucking arse. People started panicking when they saw them. Some ran, while others backed away cautiously. Thankfully, we were safe from them and were freed from their nasty assault this time. As they slowly stormed through the playground, Dachekas and Krusty Chops pushed and shoved kids aside like they were nothing. Krusty Chops head-butted one poor lad and then used him as a doormat to wipe the shit off his shoes. Dachekas grabbed a boy by his nostrils and then kicked him in the bollocks as their calm leader strolled on with no emotion on his glassy face. It was then I realised Nippy was directly in the line of fire and the poor sod didn't even know it. His back was turned and he was chatting crap with the geeks, oblivious to the danger coming his way. I wanted to run and rescue the bird, but I was too scared of getting caught in the violence down there. If only I were a hero man, not a weasel coward like I am. Nippy! I shouted urgently, warning him of the danger. He turned to me, saw me waving my arms about, and goofily waved back at me. He grinned like a fat Cheshire puss-puss. Hello? He said. No! Move out of the way, Nippy, you damn fool! What? He replied, puzzled and hopeless. Move out of the way! Huh? He said, as behind him the bullies grew closer, leaving a trail of wounded bodies behind them. For fuck's sake, move it, Nippy! I jumped to my feet, desperately trying to help him, but failing miserably. My arms were flailing all over the joint, but Will and Hughie just sat there, accepting the fact that poor Nippy was most certainly done for, a doomed man, a dead fella walking. Get out of the way! I yelled one last time. But that was it. They got him. Dachekas stretched out one of his tentacle-like arms and grabbed Nippy roughly by the back of his neck. Nippy squirmed and grunted as he was slowly elevated off the ground. Dachekas let out an evil snigger as Nippy got higher, with his little legs waving about in an attempt to get free. Resistance is pointless, Mr. Want, said their calm leader, Yellow Cassette's Peck, his arms folded and face smug and evil, observing the torture before his wanky eyes. Put me down, you blasted villains, begged Nippy, squeaking in pain as he pathetically struggled to remove Dachekas' vice-like grip from around his small neck. But his claw was too big, and the grip was so intensely tight. You aren't putting down, then, do you, Mr. Want? Asked Peck, so devilishly, as he rubbed his chin like a total, utter bastard. Yes, I do, squeaked Nippy desperately. Certainly, said Dachekas, right away throwing Nippy across the air like he was a bag of shitty rags. Nothing. Nippy yelped like a raccoon as he was caught mid-air roughly by Krusty Chops. They all laughed like fuckers. I can still hear their sniggers to this day. Horrid. I mean, truly horrid. Then the pair of them passed him back and forth like he was a manky tennis ball that was falling to bits. I was crushed by this, for I could have saved the poor lad from this severe beating and utter humiliation. Beaten and ashamed, I dropped myself back onto the grass and witnessed Nippy's despicable annihilation by the hands of the bully boys. If only I had got a bit of nerve in me, I could have spared Nippy this battering. But no, same as ever, I was gutless. In the end, they got bored of throwing him around and dropped his floppy body to the floor. Plonk. They stood over him powerfully, cackling like hyenas, as he twitched slightly in his fucked up, unconscious state. His raggy clothes were even more ripped now, his brittle body bruised and red raw. Everybody but us fled the scene very quickly because no one wanted to be a witness. We couldn't go tell the teachers what had happened because we were all too shit scared of being knackered ourselves. Yellow Cassette's Peck raised his chin and addressed us from across the yard. Nobody saw fuck all. Am I right? There was a long silence as faces turned away from the frightening villain. I looked away too, ashamed of my stupid self. Peck nodded and gave a little smirk, for he knew he had got away with it again. He really was above the law. Come on, he said, leaving the incident with his two bam chams following him as he stomped away from the debris of Nippy's carcass. Me and my friends remained seated for a moment or two, and then we knew it was safe, and we rushed down to the aid of poor Nippy. He was a wreck of a man, bleeding and speaking gibberish under his breath. Will went to get help, and I slapped him lightly in an attempt to wake him up. The saddest part of it all was that we couldn't tell the teachers what had really happened. We would have to make up a lie. He fell over playing football, or he was dicking about on the roof and his foot just slipped. We had to lie, or we would end up in the same state. The bell rang once again. Dinner was well and truly over.